Amen. All right. Well, hey, how many guys have ever heard the term? Certainly you should have heard it here at Sunrise. We talk about this a lot because it's in the Bible a lot. But that's the term fake, phony Christians. Have you heard that term? In fact, my theory over 20-some years of being a pastor now, the reason why the American church is so powerless, ineffective, is because the church is flooded with so many fake, phony believers. Okay, I've dealt with them personally and things of that nature and whatever. But believe it or not, that's not an uncommon thing, unfortunately, because Jesus dealt with that at his first coming. And the greatest example was, guess who? Judas Iscariot. Where was he? He was right there in the mix. But man, he wasn't a lover of Jesus, that's for sure. He was a lover of money, right? And believe it or not, folks, that unfortunate trend of having fake, phony Christians, it's ramping up just in time for Jesus' second coming. There are so many fake, phony Christians out there. And let me give you one that was recently in headlines, right? Watch what this guy says about his so-called relationship with God. Let's take a look.
John Steingard, the Canadian musician, singer, and songwriter, is known as the lead vocalist for the Christian pop-punk band Hawk Nelson. John became a part of Hawk Nelson in 2004 when he was only 20 years old, and became the lead songwriter and vocalist in 2012. When he joined the band, the music wasn't overtly Christian, but over the years, they started to put their faith in their music more. John acknowledges that he was the loudest voice pushing for that shift, believing that it would lead the band into more success in the Christian music world. He penned hit songs like Drop in the Ocean that were about God's love. This week, he published a long, thoughtful post on social media, saying that his beliefs have changed, and he can only reveal these personal details now that the band isn't playing shows or making new music. In his Instagram post, John writes, "After growing up in a Christian home, being a pastor's kid, playing and singing in a Christian band, and having the word Christian in front of most things in my life, I'm finding that I no longer believe in God."
Whoa. Well, there it is. He lost his salvation. No. We've seen that many times. Unfortunately, some people come to that false conclusion. He didn't. What was he? His going showed that he was a what? Just like Judas Iscariot. You were there in the midst, all right. Oh, you did so-called Christian songs, but you're what? You're a fake, phony Christian. Now, where do you base that on? Hello, rhymes with the Bible. Okay, I didn't say that. God did. How many times have we dealt with this text? 1 John 2:19. They, including Hawk Nelson, what? Went out from us because they what? They lost their salvation? No. They really didn't what? Belong to us, which implies what? They were fake the whole time. Well, what's the acid test? How do you know if somebody's fake or real? Well, here's one of them. For if they had belonged to us, i.e. they were real, they would have what? They would have remained with us. But they're going to show that how many? None of them belong to us. Okay? He was a fake phony the whole time. It's just eventually it came out. Eventually by his departure and his belief in God and certainly Jesus Christ. Now, here's the point. Believe it or not, folks, did you know that there's an event that is coming to our planet that is going to reveal in mass on a global basis instantly all the fake phony so-called Christians out there? Uh-huh. And you know what that event is? It's the rapture of the church, and man, instantly, it won't just be one person, you're going to find out instantly, at least those who remain, the people who were fake the whole time, because they're going to be left behind, they'll be thrust into the seven-year tribulation, which again, is not a joke. Jesus said in Matthew 24, what about that time frame? It's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God kept it to 7 years, basically, the entire human race would be destroyed. You don't want to be left behind for that. If you're not saved, or if you're not sure, you better get saved today. This is not a game. Okay, God has warned you repeatedly over and over again. Why do you spurn his grace and mercy? Okay, and that's why we're going to continue in our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising, signs that it's getting close. We don't know the day nor the hour, but it is getting close. Now, the first, the three signs we've seen so far is the Jewish people and the Antichrist. 20 weeks, we dealt with all the signs about the Jewish people, Israel, what's going on in the Middle East right now, even in the news, is, believe it or not, a huge sign, folks, that time is wrapping up. The departure is getting near, the rapture of the church. The second sign, of course, was modern technology, all kinds of ways that things that we take for granted and become dependent upon modern technology all over the Bible is a sign that we're living in the last days. And then, of course, the last 15 times we saw, speaking of modern technology, the specific technology called artificial intelligence, our study, the AI invasion. And where we get this from, of course, is Daniel chapter 12. And he talked about 2,600 years ago, that there's going to come a time. How do you know you're living the end of times? Not only is the world going to be traveling to and fro like never before, but there's going to be an increase of knowledge, an explosion of knowledge, and it's going to lead to the end of times. And what's crazy is even the secularists, the non-Christians, admit that's a real danger. Now, they don't call it end of times. They call it singularity, where their words, not mine, say is AI, artificial intelligence, this increase of knowledge, is going to spiral out of control, and it's going to go into robots and all kinds of other things and take over the planet, and their words, not mine, in humanity. It's the same event. Okay? And then so we begin to take a look at, well, how did this happen? Okay? Well, believe it or not, not only how did it happen, it's not going to stop. Just like God said, it's coming. There's a race for AI. All kinds of people around the planet are pushing to make this happen. Then we took a look at the definition of AI, the types, the history, the big data, and the makers of AI. And then, of course, just like God warned about, we saw the future of AI, the last 12 times, okay? And what we saw is, shocker, God never gets it wrong, okay? When he says this is going to lead to a horrible future called the end of times, guess what it's going to lead to? A horrible future called the end of times. And so we begin to dissect it. How is that happening? And what we saw is AI's the new electricity is permeating the planet in the background, and it's beginning to run everything and provide what I believe is the platform for the tyranny of the Antichrist. Total global control, the worst time in humanity. We saw it's already happening in the area of business and finances, convenience, agriculture, and then if you were here last time, we saw the fifth and sixth areas was communication and education. And what we saw there is with AI being pitched the way it's being pitched in these areas that have fun in trying to educate or communicate somebody about what the Antichrist is up to in the last days. Give it up. And what we saw is AI has taken over all the global communication system and promoting with internal communications with the brain chips. Remember that? And then the education is doing the same thing. Not only is AI taking over the educational system, but again, you want to have an improved education? Get another brain chip. Again, they're focusing on that brain chip, not just chips in the hand, but also now in the head. And what we saw there is that will give the Antichrist the ability to stop anybody from leaking any word out, anything, even the thought that he doesn't want to have. And that technology is not only already here just in time for the seven-year tribulation, it's already being promoted, okay? But this one, Lord willing, if we're still alive in here, it's so big, man, like the convenience one, we're going to deal with it for the next three studies, okay? And this is this, okay? The seventh area is AI is taking over the medical. And I'm telling you, on a global basis, on a scale that we ain't even prepared to handle, right? Because you could sit there and say, oh, I'm fine, whatever. But you know what? One of the most vulnerable moments of life, you could sit there and say, oh, nobody's going to come get me. But it's when something happens to your leg and you need medical attention, or you get into a car wreck, or you come down with a disease, right? You need somebody. You can't do it yourself. You need, and I'm telling you, that in itself could be used as leverage on a massive scale to get people to bow a knee, to do whatever you want them to do. And I really think that that's exactly what's going to happen with the Antichrist, especially when you take a look at the events of the seven-year tribulation. The seven-year tribulation is called the worst time in the history of mankind for a reason. And there's three different sets of judgments. You got the seals, then you got the trumpets, and then you got the bowls at the very end, okay? And when you take a look at those things, man, those things aren't just horrible, but for those who are still left alive after these events, you know what you're going to need? You're going to need them some medical care, okay? So if somebody controlled that, boy, do they got leverage. So let's take a look at one of those judgments, Revelation chapter 8, the trumpet judgments, and let's see what's going to happen to the planet after those are unleashed, okay? Let's take a look there, Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Revelation chapter 8. And it's page 1947 in my Bible. That helps you speed up there, Ruth. Okay. And Revelation chapter 8. Now, this is the trumpet judgments. This is the middle ones, right? We got the seals. We got then the trumpets. And then the final ones at the very end, towards the very end, is the bowl judgments, right? But let's take a look. And it's not all of them. We're just going to read the first few. Okay. But man, how would you like to be on the planet when this goes down? It rhymes with the answer, no. Okay. Let's take a look. Revelation chapter 8. Now, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for how long? Half an hour. Now, I didn't say it. J. Vern McGee did. He said, this is biblical justification, is why there's no women in heaven. Now, notice I prefaced that. I didn't say that. That was J. Vern McGee, who's already in heaven, so you can't even send me an email. But anyway, that's right. He's just kidding. Come on, lighten up. right? And then read verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer filled with fire from the altar and hurled it where? Onto the earth. Man, it's not good, man. There came peals of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightnings and an earthquake. Well, here you go. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. And the first angel sounded his trumpet. And what happened? There came hail and fire mixed with blood and was hurled down upon the earth. And here's the result. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. So much for trying to protect the environment. The second angel sounded his trumpet and something sounded like a huge mountain, obviously a giant asteroid, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. Man, talk about a tsunami. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. A third angel sounded his trumpet. And a great star, someone say like a comet, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and the springs of the water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter. And many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet. And a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. And as I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe, to who? The inhabitants of the earth," which is Revelation's way of saying those who are left behind. Why? Because the trumpet blasts that are about to be sounded by the other three angels. You may be seated if you can. Basically, what he's saying is, as bad as that was, what you just read, you still ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you see the other ones that are coming. Okay, but how many guys would say, again, I think you're a discerning crowd. You've already passed the test a couple times. Mary, you're doing a great job, so be encouraged today, right? But how many guys would say that one-third of the earth being burned up, a massive asteroid the size of a mountain slamming into the planet, a comet flying by, possibly by poisoning the water supply of the whole world, and other celestial events disrupting the whole planet will not only be a seriously bad time that you seriously want to avoid by making sure you're safe today, but how many guys would say, after all that, those who are still alive, probably going to need some medical care. You know what I'm saying? Just need a little bit, right? Okay, and so this common sense, okay? And again, this is the problem. You know, people say, oh, I can survive. I don't need Jesus Christ. I'll survive the seven-year tribulation. And all the, hey, listen, you could take all your nature classes. You can learn how to tie a tourniquet, okay? You could do all this stuff and your homemade remedies. Guess what? These events on this scale, it ain't going to be good enough. I don't care who you are on the planet. If you're still alive, you should have avoided the whole thing by God and saved today. But if you're still alive, you are going to need some serious medical care. Now, here's the whole point in bringing that up. Whoever, therefore, then at this time controls not just the healthcare system, but the global healthcare system has got some serious leverage on the planet, right? And I think this is the leverage that the Antichrist could use to do what we see in Revelation 13 several different times will do. It says there in Revelation 13, he's not going to just ask. It says he's going to force, he's going to order, he's going to make people do what he says to do, or you're going to die. Remember that? Right? You got to have some serious leverage because you know there's going to be resistors. But here's the point. Put all this into condition. If you control the medical care around the planet and then all these disasters hit, listen to this scenario. I don't think it's far out there. Hey, you want those burns treated from that global fire? Hey, no problem. Take the chip. You want those broken bones set from that giant tsunami that slammed in the coastlines and took out a third of the ships around the world? Yeah, that was a big one, wasn't it? Hey, yeah, no problem. You know, just worship me. What's that? You want to get rid of that poisonous water in your system for drinking all that stuff, and you know, so you don't die? Hey, no problem. Just bow a knee, worship the Antichrist. You don't think he's going to use that? Of course he's going to use that. Leverage on a massive scale. And believe it or not, folks, that's not just a convenient theory. It's already being put into play. AI is taking over. I'm telling you, we're going to deal with this 3 weeks. The medical care on the whole planet. Humans aren't going to be a part of that equation, which means it's all electronic, all tied together, which gives one guy his finger on the button. Total control. And total leverage. And I want to demonstrate that to you. Now, the first way AI is controlling all the medical systems on the planet is AI is already starting to replace doctors. And I want to demonstrate that to you, okay? And it's happening so fast that most people don't even have a clue about it, okay? Right now, AI in the healthcare industry, this is the term, it's being called the fourth healthcare revolution in medicine. And it's being pitched to be the panacea to cure all our ills in the what? In the medical industry. And what's the biggest issue that people keep saying? Even in this election, what's one of the biggest things everybody's concerned about? They say, healthcare, healthcare, healthcare. And it just doesn't go away, does it? Every year it seems like people are more healthcare this, healthcare that. Is this? Is the government going to control it? Do you get to keep it private? But it's all healthcare. Well, guess what they're pitching as a panacea to fix all of our concerns? It's AI, folks, okay? And what they're saying is AI can do it much better. I.e., AI can do the medical community much better than humans. And it's the panacea for everything. Let me just give you a couple of their rationales as they want literally no humans involved anymore moving down the road. They say, here's your benefits. AI can efficiently diagnose and reduce medical error. It can more accurately diagnose cancer and all kinds of diseases. It can treat rare diseases. It can provide early detection of disease and ailments. It can more intelligently check a patient's symptoms. It can improve insights and that need to be taken. It can read better medical tests and radiology. It can develop medicines better, faster, and cheaper. Wait till we get to that, Lord willing. It can speed up clinical trials for medical breakthroughs. I mean, come on. I mean, do humans have the time to read all these articles from all these medical associations? AI can. Do it on a scale that's superhuman. And they can come out with results like you can't even dream. It can find better candidates for experimental drug. It could provide targeted treatment, right? It personalized treatments, custom tailored to your body. No more generalization. You know, hope that works. It worked for that person over here in this country. No, it's custom tailored to your body. Manage your eating habits, lifestyle, and choices. Wait till we get to that one. That's kind of big brother creepy. A streamline a patient's experience. Provide faster hospital visits. It can handle all customer service, medical records, medical history, customer complaints, all paperwork, all forms, even process customer payments. And I wonder how they're going to have you make payment for this new AI medical system. Well, yeah, we'll get to that eventually too. Very interesting. It can perform all administrative duties. It can personalize and improve your healthcare plan. It can store, manage, access all data and cross the what? Entire healthcare system. It sees everybody's health all at the same time. On the whole planet. Okay, it can provide personalized health care at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Doesn't need a day off, right? Don't need to pay it. It can increase people's access to medical care across, what's the word there? The globe. And it can perform your surgery. You know, in case, unfortunately, you made the biggest mistake of your life and didn't get saved today through Jesus Christ, and you found yourself in the 7-year tribulation and all these calamities started to hit, you're going to need some surgery. But it probably won't be a human. It's going to be a robot. I hope you're not shut out of the system. And folks, I'm telling you, that stuff is being put into play as we speak right now. Maybe not my AI is already radically transforming our healthcare. And again, it is the new panacea. Now, the reason why they started to go down this route is because we may not realize this, but yes, even a little bit here in the United States, but across the world, there is a mega shortage of doctors. And so they're saying AI can fix that problem. Watch this.
Humans versus AI, no contest? I mean, what do you see? You must see it as, I know you're one of these forward-thinking guys. I saw your TED talk. What do you see? I mean, how is this going to revolutionize things?
Mike, I think it's as big as the internet, or probably as big as computers. It's just one more way in which we can automate what humans only used to be able to do. So with AI in healthcare, for example, and this is a big deal in the United States, but maybe a bigger and more advanced deal in China, you're basically taking things that until recently could only be done by doctors, and now you have algorithms that can do them. And more this is the case. I think the difference in China is that they, in the United States, we have plenty of doctors, but our healthcare system's too expensive. In China, it's not the price, it's that they just don't have enough doctors, right? China's got more obese kids than any other country in the world. I mean, China has a lot more of almost everything, I think, than many countries in the world. They need that expertise, and they need to have it scaled, and they need to have it soon. And this is why AI is rolling out in a big way in China, in a way that we're just seeing the first signs of in the United States. But most people in the world have never even seen a doctor or a nurse, and they never will over their lifetime. So for those areas, which probably include some areas of rural China, if not perhaps the rural United States, but certainly in these very, very rural areas all around the world, AI has the potential of letting us scale medical expertise in a way that we have just never been able to do before.
Yeah, it's a whole new world. What are the pluses? I mean, is it a speedier diagnosis, you think?
Faster, cheaper.
Faster and cheaper.
Yeah.
And he wasn't kidding about faster and cheaper. So it's not the panacea just to fix the doctor shortage crisis around the world, whether we realize that or not. That's what's going on. But again, it's the same thing we saw with the other industries, businesses, finances, agriculture. It's like, who could say no to this? Because AI is going to save so much time and so much money. Okay. In fact, let me share with you some of those statistics. AI in healthcare spending is expected to hit, listen, $36 billion by 2025. That's up from $2.1 billion just a couple years ago. Massive, massive increase. And they say AI will generate a savings of over $150 billion by 2025 and $300 billion. That's a third of a trillion in the next coming years, okay? So again, there's no stopping this. This is the panacea. They're dumping all their eggs into this basket. AI is going to fix the shortage of doctors. AI is going to save so much money. And isn't that the big concern? It costs so much, and we got to get the healthcare costs down, and who's going to handle it? And it's getting too complex, and you got people who get healthcare, and especially with seniors, and there's so many different plans. I don't even know which plan I should pick, and AI will fix it all. Just get rid of the humans and it'll take care of the whole thing. Just in time, I believe, for somebody to use that as leverage in the 7-year tribulations, okay? But again, I'm telling you folks, listen to what they say. They say patients, they're going to micromanage the plan. Patients will be monitored at home using wearables and remote monitoring devices, thus reducing admission costs, cutting down on office visits, again, saving time and money. And we'll get into that eventually with the wearables, which have microchips in them, you know, like the iWatch or the Fitbit. Those are called wearables. There's a problem. You could still lose that. So you know what they're pitching to go beyond that? Put something electronically inside you. You can't lose that. It'll always keep you tied into the medical system. But we're not there yet. But let me show you how they're step by step, slowly, methodically, I don't think it's by chance, replacing literal doctors and nurses. They're removing the human element. Now, we've been conditioned to that, and the first way was apps. Now, these apps, these AI medical apps, have been around for a few years now, and we've been conditioned with the phrase, there's an app for everything, right? Well, there is, including, believe it or not, in the medical world. Now, at first, when they came out with these AI medical apps, what they did for you was they connected you to a physical doctor. But AI was the one that did all the research for you and tracked it down for you, okay? Let me give you one example. This one's from Babylon Health. Let's take a look at this app. And see, that's just step one. Just get you conditioned to it. There's still a human involved, but you could just use an app. You know, I don't know what doctor to choose. I don't know. I still haven't even picked my plan. No problem. AI will pick it for you. In fact, it's so simple, even a child could use it. AI will help you find that physical doctor. Okay? But that was just the beginning. Okay? Now they went to the next thing. They begin to get us conditioned to skip the whole physical doctor period when it comes to the aspect of diagnosis, right? You can get you still got to find out what's wrong, right? Well, don't need a human anymore for that. You can have an AI app, and you could just do it right there on the spot. Just tell it your symptoms, and it'll tell you what's wrong with you, right? Let me give you just a few of them that are out there. There's Ada. This is an AI app that can help you if you're feeling unwell. There's Aerie. That's an AI personal health coach who will literally dictate everything about you. All's AI. That's an AI app that helps you care for your loved ones, obviously with Alzheimer's. There's Amelie, an AI chatbot for your mental health. Can you imagine if they tied the whole, quote, mental health care system together and then AI would dictate based on all your profiling it does on you that you are mentally unstable and they use that as an excuse to haul you away? Yeah, we'll get to that eventually as well. We're just getting little teasers today. BiteSnap, that's an AI food recognition app tells you with your meal photos to help count calories. It'll automatically do that for you. Doc AI, that one helps make understand your lab results, easy to understand. There's Gaian, that's an AI that helps you go from symptoms to likely conditions, tell you what's going on with you. There's Joy, that's an AI app that helps you track and improve your mental health, another mental health app. And Kiwi, that's an app that helps you reduce and quit smoking, right? Don't need to go to the doctor for that. Pulse Data, that's an AI app that predicts bad, expensive health outcomes before they happen, right? You don't want that app to. And then Sleep AI, that's an AI app that diagnoses snoring and sleep grinding. Okay, it'll even fix that for you. And Tess, that's an AI therapist in your pocket. Now, notice of all those, three of them were about your so-called mental health. I wonder if at some point somebody could say, you know what? Saying that your way is the only way, that's a mental health disease. Yeah, it's coming. And again, I'm just giving you little teasers. We'll eventually get to that as well. But you don't need humans to diagnose anymore. Now, notice it's a step-by-step process. First, it's an AI will find that physical doctor. Well, now I don't even know go to the doctor to get a diagnosis. AI can do that for me as well. But they're still not done as well. Now AI is replacing real doctors. In fact, so much so that real doctors are saying their jobs are in jeopardy. Okay, here's one that admits it. Watch this. This is wild.
The role of artificial intelligence in the future of healthcare is really interesting and for physicians a little bit scary and threatening. If you're a physician like me and you trained for 7, 8, 10 years to learn your craft, the idea that a computer might come in and take over for you, a lot of us have to have ambivalent feelings about that. If you watched Watson beat the Jeopardy champions, I don't think you could watch that without wondering what profession is safe. And we've seen profession after profession be taken over by computers. I think many of us had a bias that medicine's too hard, too complex, it's impossible. But if you watch Watson, you had to be impressed.
And why were you impressed? Remember when we saw that video of Watson? It beat the two best back in 2011. So how much more advanced is it now as they continue to feed it data 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? And that's just IBM's version. But it beat what? The two best human champions of all time of Jeopardy beat their pants off. Remember that? And they're saying, that was back in 2011. It's going into all arenas. So as you said, even the doctors are saying, what's going to happen? Our jobs are in jeopardy. It isn't just going to take over the business world and the finance world and the agricultural world, all these other convenient things and robots this, doing all this for you and all the automation. It's going to what? It'll take over the medical, even the human doctor aspect. Now, that's just the first step. That's just with the apps. Okay, the second one is chatbots. Now, if you're not sure what a chatbot is, one guy, he puts it this way. He says, they are what I imagine, listen, Siri would be like if she had a medical degree. Okay? They're designed to be conversational resources when you're feeling under the weather. And they say, you could do something like this. You just simply say to the chatbot, hey, chatbot, I got these symptoms, headache, chills, sore throat. Then your chatbot interacts with you, asks more questions, and depending on your answers, quote, helps you decide what you should do. You know, like a real doctor you used to have to go into. But now it's not just an app. It's a virtual, they call them virtual doctors or virtual nurses that you can, it's AI, it's a chatbot, and it tells you what to do. Now, let me give you one example out there that people are already getting conditioned to do. And this is an AI medical chatbot called Molly. Molly will tell you what to do, right? Let's take a look at that.
Hi, my name is Molly, and I am going to be your virtual nurse.
There is one universal issue that most healthcare systems are struggling with, and that is the shortage of qualified clinicians and nurses that manage the care of so many patients. This is especially true in chronic disease care management, which in the United States is the number one driver of rising healthcare costs, with 3% of chronically ill patients being responsible for 65% of the healthcare budget. We developed Sensely and our virtual nurse, Molly, to extend the clinical reach of real doctors and nurses into everyday life and home of the patient.
Our app can be a part of their lives every day. So our avatar Molly, she can check in with the patient every single morning, more than once a day if that's needed. She can ask the patients how they're doing. She can collect really important information such as their weight or their blood pressure, glucose levels, ask them relevant questions to whatever condition they might have.
It's 190.9 pounds. You did not gain any weight. That's good. Now let's take your blood pressure. Please make sure the cuff is on by pressing the orange button on the side of the cuff.
Because we have this avatar that talks to you and you can talk back to, it makes people way more engaged. And because of that engagement level, they're more likely to do these types of things to keep themselves healthier.
Here is 149 over 94. Your pulse is 81 beats per minute. Your blood pressure is a bit high today. We will keep monitoring that. Now that we are done taking your vitals, I want to ask you more about how you are feeling. If you are experiencing shortness of breath, is it worse than normal? Anything else you want to tell me?
No.
Patients have told me it's comforting to have her. It's like someone's holding my hand and they would rather talk to her than just use an app on their phone.
What'd you say? You got used to the apps on your phone. Now what are people getting conditioned to like? This next step with AI chatbot. So it's already going into that next stage. First it was AI apps, but now people like these AI virtual medical professionals, doctors and nurses. And again, if you think it's just the older generation that needs help with some of these questions, it's the younger generations, okay, as well. One team, in fact, millennials on down loves this technology. As we saw before, what was one of the side effects of social media, cell phones, and all that stuff? Remember last week? It's just got the kids are now, they'd rather talk to a computer, communicate with the computer rather than a person. So this is right up their alley. I don't need a human doctor. I'm already used to social media and all this electronic devices talking to a electronic device. This is no different. But one teen says this. There's this app called Emoji Health. She, quote, channeled her health-related concerns with it, saying, why am I feeling depressed and, quote, what should I do about this zit on my forehead? And the AI app said, don't pop the zit. It will only make it worse. Quote, it saved that teen's life. But they love it. Okay. But again, they say that there's also a practical side. Why are people warming up to this instead of a human doctor or human nurse? Well, they say this. A lot of health topics can be uncomfortable, right? Because they're so personal. You don't want to say that to another person. It's kind of, but guess what? All that's done away. All that, quote, human awkwardness, you don't have to worry about with AI. It's just a machine. And they're saying the chatbot could theoretically talk to hundreds of thousands of people all at once. Wow. Physical doctors and nurses can't do that. Okay. In fact, you're going to have doctors on the unemployment line. And that's what, and nurses too, that's what they're saying in this headline. Animated avatars, virtual nurses help coach patients during hospital stays to guide their recoveries, give advice, reminders, and even give encouragement. These virtual health coaches are needed because medical professionals are in short supply. And soon, listen to this, you'll be getting your information and advice and encouragement from Sally or Walt. Only Sally or Walt aren't real people. They are AI animated avatars that can be accessed, listen, not just through your phone or tablet, quote, through a hospital TV set. So even if you don't have one of those, AI can meet your medical needs as there as well. But that's not all. It's literally removing the human element altogether because AI medical robots are now starting to be launched out there as well. And this is the third logical step because you might be thinking, well, listen, what if I don't want to text an AI app, right? What if I don't want to talk to some virtual animated AI avatar thing? I mean, I want to talk to a something physical that's right there with me. Well, guess what? You still don't need humans for that. AI is now being popped into these robots. Now, that's not something strange, certainly not in our study, because what did we see before? There's AI robots already out there, service robots, delivery robots, and even with people, there's elderly care robots, there's babysitter robots, there's intimate robots. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. So is it a surprise that they're launching these robots in the medical community? Absolutely not, okay? In fact, right now, they're pushing these so much, okay, that these AI robots, that they are going to be the next stage of doctor. Let's take a look at this.
How are you doing? Want to try a breathing exercise together?
good.
This is Meibu, a companion robot that looks after patients at home.
She's here to remind us mainly about our medications.
It's a face you may want to remember because Meibu, or something like it, might look after you one day.
You know, I realize she's a robot, but in a way, like, you actually feel that she cares, you know? Like, and that's like something that a friend would do for you.
As we live longer and our aging population strains the healthcare system, AI and robotics may fill the gaps.
We don't have enough people to provide the level of care that we'd like to. And so that's really where robotics and AI come in.
Okay, so it's cute, if a little bit unsettling. But what can it do? It can monitor your health and even read the emotions on your face. But as personal healthcare bots become more advanced, will they take over for human caregivers? But the focus isn't just on elder care. AI and robotics are making advances across the healthcare industry, from genetic testing and robotic surgery to cancer research and data collection. Soon enough, you may even run into some AI in the exam room. But are we ready to hand over life and death decisions to the machines?
Yeah, that's a good question. Are you literally ready to get rid of humans and let machines take over the whole medical industry? That's their words, not mine. Okay? And again, you put this in the Antichrist shoes, you don't think he would use this? Of course he would, right? You get it completely controlled on that. And again, what they're saying is this is going to save so much money. When it comes to actual physical doctors, do you realize how much that costs? We already have a shortage. Do you realize how much time that takes to train them? Do you realize how much it costs to maintain them? They get paid a lot, you know. Do we have the money for that? AI will fix all that. In fact, watch this. This is what they say. Training doctors takes time. It's very costly. It takes years to train them. And forecasts around the world show that countries are already facing a shortage of trained staff. What do we do? And then the cost for medical school, the average cost is $278,000 just to become a doctor. Then this average salary for doctors in the U.S., which is not the highest, by the way, we're only the third highest, okay, to keep the doctor, you pay $299,000 a year. And that's a 2018 figure, right? So you got to figure on your, we got a shortage crisis, and it costs so much money, we're running out of money, and these countries don't even have doctors, and it takes so long, we're never going to catch up. Oh no, what will we do? Quote, the days may be numbered when nurses are busy with tasks such as drawing blood, keeping an eye on patients, monitoring vital signs, moving patients around. Nursing activities are being streamlined and simplified by AI-powered robots that can listen, draw blood, help patients move, monitor vital signs, and without the interventions of human nurses. In fact, China is so big on this, they are launching a fleet of AI robot doctors. And their first AI robot doctor, literal replacement of the doctor, passed his exams with flying colors. Watch this. Wow, do you see how many of those there were there? Apparently, they got plans not just for one, but what? A whole fleet of these babies, right? We don't need humans anymore. We can create these AI doctors and these robots, and it's just going to be great. But it's not really going to happen, is it? And I quote, this is from a Silicon Valley investor, quote, robots, not maybe, not might, they're talking 100%, robots will replace doctors by 2035. That ain't that far away, folks. Okay, so this is where it's headed, just in time, I believe, for some serious leverage over people when disasters hit in the seven-year tribulation. Okay, but that's just doctors. Okay, and that's kind of like just being diagnosed. So I got a disease, I got a cough, what is this from? That's being taken over. But what about the other half? Well, that's being taken over too. AI, at the same time, is now taking over the actual physical part of surgery. You know, the other part that doctors do for us, right? You don't just go there and say, hey, what's wrong with my foot, as Ruth dealt with. Okay, he tells you, and then he says, okay, now go home. No, what's the other part of the equation? You have to have it set. You have to have, you know, possible surgery and things of that nature, okay? And I'm telling you, folks, that is happening on a massive scale. Quote, AI finds great use inside operating rooms and surgeries. Robotic surgical systems powered with AI can be used to standardize the quality of surgical procedures and uniform and predictable outcomes even when the surgeons vary. You know what that means? Even when the surgeons make mistakes. AI won't. It's much more reliable. And quote, AI performs these surgeries typically done in humans in, quote, less the time and a fraction of the cost. Do you need to pay AI a 401k plan? Do you need to pay AI that $299,000 a year? Do you need to give him sick leave and all that? No. And that's why they're saying, quote, 45% of ORs, operating rooms, will be integrated with artificial intelligence by 2022. That's almost half of them. This is what I'm saying. We don't realize that there's a takeover happening in the back end. Remember, it's called the new electricity. It didn't go away. It's now being running like electricity. It runs everything, and we just take it for granted. That's what AI is doing. So like it, lump it, leave it. This is what they're doing. In fact, they're getting us, just like the apps, they're getting us step by step used to the idea of literally having a machine do your surgery for you. But it's a conditional process. Now, the first way they did that was they got us used to having AI helping humans do what's called remote surgeries. Like, you couldn't make it there in time, but at least with the help of AI, you can do the surgery over a distance. Now, guess what made that possible? 5G. Remember the 5G aspect? We saw in the Big Brother aspect. We already dealt with here and the finances and all that stuff. It runs at such sufficient speeds that now they can, literally, doctors can perform remote surgeries because you finally got the speed. So there's no lag and delay. You can't have that. You can have jitteriness when you're trying to operate on somebody. 5G fixed it all. And China is already using it. Watch this.
4G比较5G来情况呢，确实因为5G的讲，就你们也看到了，非常流畅，非常流畅，这个网速比较快。那但总体来讲，我们感觉上来讲，这个情况非常流畅，没有明显的卡顿现象。目的就希望把建立这种远程互联网技术这种5G环境下以后，这个互联网的技术是更。Remote
surgery. Now that particular one was 3,000 kilometers. Okay, for those of you hooked on miles, which you should be if you're a good patriotic American, right? That's over 1,800 miles. Now, that's getting close to doing like a coast-to-coast scenario. Boy, wouldn't that be convenient? Because that happens, right? You just don't have the doctors in your area that are needed who have the specialty to perform that surgery. I mean, they're on the other side of the United States. There just isn't time. Not anymore. With the help of AI and the new 5G network, you can tap into him just like that. It's just like he's really there. First, it's step by step. AI will allow the physical doctor to do the remote surgery for you. But that was just step one. Again, like the others, it's a condition process, I believe. The second step is now they're moving to what's called AI-assisted surgeries. Now, what this is, it's not just AI connecting you to run the system so the doctor can do it. This is literally working in tandem with the doctor, monitoring the movements of the doctor so he doesn't make a mistake. AI will prevent that, okay? In fact, what they say is robot-assisted surgery is, quote, minimally invasive so that patients won't need to heal from large incisions. You know, those doctors, they just rip you wide open. But not with AI. And that could lead to a 21% reduction stay in the hospital. Boy, that's going to save even more time and money. In fact, one study found that AI-assisted robotic procedures resulted in 5 times less fewer complications than just a human operating alone, right? In other words, what they're saying is it's going to do it better than humans. So let's take a look at this next one. Now, AI will assist in the surgery and make sure the doctor doesn't make mistakes. Watch this.
A robot operates on a medical emergency. A scene from a science fiction film? The fiction has long been a reality. In the hospital, the robot becomes the perfect teammate of the human being, like the Da Vinci.
We can preserve fine structures. We have a three-dimensional view. We have a tenfold enlargement of the surgical area. We have instruments that are superior to the mobility of the human hand. And we can operate without shaking. No wonder that medical robotics is booming. Employees at the German Aerospace Center are developing a robot that will revolutionize surgery in the future, the Miro. Thanks to its lightweight construction, it can be integrated into the operating theater in a very space-saving way. Furthermore, the research also includes the fact that even more can be discovered about the patient's insides via miniaturized sensors. This also improves patient safety. Suppose the hand of the doctor ever slipped off the controller. A life-threatening scenario. Not with the Miro. It can be programmed in such a way that the patient's organs are not put at risk. So it would not carry out an accidental movement by the doctor. So will doctors soon become superfluous? After all, more and more machines are being developed that will work autonomously.
In other words, without humans. Well, what are they saying it's already at? It could actually be programmed so it can prevent what? Humans from making mistakes. I mean, the last thing you need is a doctor who, unfortunately, he's tired. You know, he's working. You know, oh, by the way, does AI get tired? Do the robots get tired? No, just keep their batteries charged. You're cool. But the last thing you need is a doctor who's from sleep deprivation. You know, or like he's trying to stay awake and he had a whole pot of coffee. Let me work on your heart. Right? AI fixes all that. Now, you think I'm joking. Believe it or not, folks, that's a big concern. Okay, medical mistakes. Okay, they say that this is the next logical step. They are going to eventually take over doctors. Now, watch this. This robot will see you now. Could computers take over medicine entirely? They're already saying it. They're already warning about it, folks. They already perform remotely controlled operations. Now robots look to set to be the physicians of the future. Right? It's a step-by-step. Right? And they're going to take over even the surgeries. Doctors and nurses could be supplanted with technology, with AI. There is no hand tremor or shake, no limitation, no fatigue. The robot in the medical community is, quote, letting the genie out of the bottle. In fact, they say the Medical Group Management Association, the MGMA, acknowledges that it is possible. Listen, quote, AI robots may one day be the only surgeons present. Haven't you watched Star Wars? Don't you remember when Luke got his hand cut off from his father? Don't you hate family problems like that? But in Hollywood, in these futuristic movies, which is not so futuristic with some of those science fiction movies, it's now our reality. How's he treated? If you recall, it's robot doctors. We've been conditioned for years, folks, to make this switch. Once again, Hollywood, we think it's for entertainment. Uh-uh, it's propaganda. They prepare us. Humans won't be needed in the medical community. It'll just be a doctor that will come up and take care of you. Now, again, if you think that that's not a concern, it is, okay? People are ripe for it. When asked their willingness to allow robots powered by AI to operate on their young children, ages 8 and younger, millennial parents were not just likely, they were quite likely to allow it. In Asia, it's 82%. India, 78%. The U.S. and U.K. overall, 45% said, yep, very likely, I have no problems, get rid of humans right now. I'll let them perform my surgery. And again, the problem is, there's a big concern going on with these medical doctors, okay? According to a Johns Hopkins University, okay, what they say is, 250,000 people in the United States die every year because of medical mistakes. Right? Now, you know what that makes it? That makes it the third leading cause of death after heart disease and cancer. Wait a second. 250,000. This has been going on for how many years? 250,000 people every year just in the United States die from medical error, from doctors. I don't know if you guys noticed, but folks, that's even higher than COVID. We got to shut down the country. We got a crisis. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, if you even believe those numbers, that's another topic. But here's my point. That's what they're saying. AI can fix all that. You are not going to have to worry about that anymore. Okay? In fact, they're saying it's coming a whole lot faster than you can think. Let's take a look at that.
The era of human doctors is coming to an end. In the near future, it may be a machine and not a human being that treats you in the hospital. At least, this is the reality that AI, artificial intelligence, is making come true. There's a major problem that exists with having humans be the medical providers. Human error. No matter how accurate humans are, it is part of being human to make mistakes. A 2016 study from Johns Hopkins University found that medical errors may be the third leading cause of death, right behind cancer and heart disease, with an estimated 250,000 patients dying annually from medical error. Who can save us from this terror? Introducing medical machines. You may be thinking, there's no way machines could replace a complicated job like a physician, but this is something that is already happening. There are more monthly visits to WebMD than there are to actual doctors. Smartphone apps like Ada put the power of diagnosis in your pocket, using machine learning to figure out what disease a person has based on symptoms. In China, the first AI computer has passed medical board examinations, and the first AI-assisted treatment center has already opened, where doctors say computers both help them and compete for their jobs. For example, researchers at Stanford found that an AI can diagnose skin cancer just as accurately as a panel of dermatologists, and another machine learning algorithm can predict who's at risk for heart disease much better than doctors can. There's even an algorithm that can look at your Instagram account and predict with 70% accuracy whether or not you were diagnosed with depression in the past 3 years. Now that's scary. Using machine doctors is also much cheaper. With the upcoming doctor shortage and a collapsing healthcare financial system, many could turn to the machines for medical care, whether or not it's a better option. Training a doctor takes thousands of dollars and years of hard work. Trust me, I know. But a computer can learn and diagnose much faster. A machine can calculate all the drug interactions and possible treatments much faster than a mere human doctor can. With medical knowledge doubling every 3 years, it may be hard for humans to keep up. Also, a computer doesn't have eyes that get tired after looking at thousands of x-rays, it doesn't need to sleep at night, and it doesn't even ask for vacations. Be ready for the AI takeover.
Wow. Not coming, but already being put into play. Now, let's stir this all together, and I think this is what you get. Is this really an unlikely scenario? Remember where we started at the beginning? Is it really so far-fetched? The planet literally is undergoing catastrophic disasters on a massive scale, the worst time in the history of mankind. And then in between moments of here comes another judgment from God, somebody makes a worldwide announcement and says, hey, do you want those burns treated from that global fire? Take a chip. You want those broken bones set from that giant tsunami that slammed into the coastline? No problem, just bow a knee. What's that? You want your body healed from drinking all that poisonous water that's killing you from the inside out? Worship the Antichrist. The system that will literally control and micromanage all medical care on the planet is already starting to be put into play. And if that really is going to be a part of the Antichrist system that he's going to use for leverage to force, make, order people to do what he says to do, or they're going to die. Why? How could they die? Well, maybe think about it. I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord, but could it be something like this? Because you didn't take the chip, because you didn't take the mark, because you didn't worship him, you don't have the necessary means to pay for your health care, to get access to that health building. Total control. We'll get to that part, Lord willing, next time. But if this is going to be a part of his system in the seven-year tribulation, and we leave prior to the seven-year tribulation of the Rapture Church, what do we do? As always, it's time to what? It's time to what? Get excited. Time's running out, right? Time's running out for what? Oh, no, the Rapture. I got so much stuff I want to do. Are you kidding me? Are you sick and tired of this place yet? When I want stuff I want to do, what's better than being with Jesus Christ? And we get to be a part of the future that he's won for us, not just escaping us and rescuing us from hell and from hell on earth for 7 years, but for what? We get to be with him in heaven, a place beyond our wildest dreams. We get to be a part of that millennial kingdom. The planet's renovated to Garden of Eden-like conditions. You got peace with nature. It's going to be awesome. The new heavens, new earth. That all happens at the rapture. That's best case scenario. Why would you run from that good news? Unless, again, as we saw last week, maybe it's because you've been seduced by this wicked world system to give your heart to somebody else other than Jesus Christ. That's called idolatry. I'll go a step further. That's called spiritual adultery. If you're engaged to somebody, do you cheat on them? No. You wouldn't do that. You couldn't wait for your love. You can't wait for your wedding day. And as Christians, that's what we need to be excited about, our wedding day. Don't get distracted by this wicked world system. There's a better day coming. And all this information tells us what? It's getting close, man. So let's finish strong. And again, if you're here, I don't know your heart, but God does. You can fool me, but you can't fool him. You could be in the church your whole life like Hawk Nelson, but that doesn't save you. You need to make sure right now that Jesus Christ truly is your Lord and Savior, that you truly meant it from your heart. Jesus, you come first. Not my will, your will be done. I trust in you and your work on the cross. Please forgive me of all my sins. I confess you as Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the grave. You're the Messiah. You're my only way out of this mess. I turn to you. Do that, and the Bible says you will be saved. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. to admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior, if we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.